This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
News on Datuk Sri Nazir Razak. So he has taken a voluntary leave of absence from his positions as CIMB Group Chairman, also CIMB Bank Director, until the completion of an ongoing review on banking activities related to the $7 million political funding that he helped distribute in 2013.
I understand, however, that since this matter has come to the public domain, it is a cause of concern for stakeholders. I therefore support and welcome the board's actions so far, which are to receive a full explanation from me, a report from internal compliance, and initiate an independent review by an external audit firm. As an additional measure to ensure the complete integrity of the review process by the board, I have decided to take a leave of absence from my positions as chairman of CIMB Group and a director of CIMB Bank with effect from close of business today until the completion of the review as determined by the board.
So that was Nazir Razak explaining his decision to take voluntary leave at the press conference or the statement reading yesterday at CIMB.
I think this is one of those rare occasions that Nazir Razak is put on the defensive because based on my observations of his past interviews, he's usually quite chatty and open, giving an air that he has nothing to hide. But understandably, this time, because of the issues surrounding this $7 million, and given his self-imposed, very remorseful garden leave that he has taken, a lot of comments were actually reserves, and a lot of very blunt and direct questions were directed at him. For example, some excerpts from the Age Financial Daily, questions surrounding the political nature of the funds, and questions asked of him of whether he recalled how many times the funds were transferred. Was this the only transfer? You know, very blunt, direct questions given to him.
I think, you know, like in the Brazilian case, right, we have, you can either view this as a kind of a specific instance, you know, a member of, you know, a leading figure in society, you know, who's been weighing in on matters of public interest, now suddenly having the tables turned on him and some scrutiny. But you can also look at it as scrutiny of a political class or the ruling class in Malaysia, because, you know, bankers, like politicians, like members of the royal families, like the military, the judiciary, all part of that political class that in many ways drives or determines the fabric of our society and its future, right? And so what we see here is not just one man, you know, sort of owning up to, you know, maybe a misdemeanor. I don't know. He's kind of unclear about why he's apologetic. He's saying one hell is not illegal, but at the same time, he seems
says,
to deeply apologize.
Yeah, he says, I wish I hadn't done it. So, you know, if it wasn't illegal, if you did nothing illegal, then why do you wish you didn't do it?
So right? there is some admission to some degree of culpability. And I guess a lot of the public press and the public figures also hail this as the right step in the right direction. A lot of newspapers are saying that Anthony Fernandez, who is clearly Nazir Razak's buddy, also came out to say that this is a class act, which may be true because I think this is so rare in Malaysian corporate circles. But I think the real issue is that we must not leave any room for doubt. We need to have a kind of clear legal status as to what happened, whether that was right or wrong. I mean, if you hear in the U.S., the head of J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, let's say transferring money for Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders, this would be a huge scandal. I'm not saying the U.S. is an exemplary model for good governance, right? But they have admittedly higher governance than here in Malaysia. So we must get to the bottom of whether the actions of Nazir Razak, whether that was clearly right or wrong.
I think one thing that's typical of Malaysia is that we always jump the gun. I think these, you know, pats on the back or, you know, this assessment that this is a class act, I think is premature. I think we really need to see the process through before we start to dole out the compliments.
Of course, that goes without saying. But you know, there are anti money laundering laws. There are notions of politically exposed people. Things like that. There are laws, and I think this would also implicate Bank Negara. But we shall see, as you say, Sharad, we have to look at the investigation done by EY, Ernst & Young.
Well, it's a review, to be honest.
Who was one of the auditors who were willing to speak up and was subsequently sacked by 1MDB, right?
Yeah. So. Well, we'll find out more. I'm sure the results of that review will be made public. But it goes to show whether, I mean, there's no mention how long he'll be on this voluntary leave at the moment. So I think it'll just run until the review is complete. 7:55 right now, Abu Dhabi-based International Petroleum Investment Company, or better known as IPIC, they said the rescue plan for 1MDB in the form of a binding term sheet it entered with the company and the finance ministry, that has been terminated. So they made an announcement to the London Stock Exchange, and IPIC said that with its subsidiary ABA Investments, they are both no longer obligated, as 1MDB and the Ministry of Finance have failed to cough up over $1 billion as promised.
This is such a complicated deal, right? But basically, it's 1MDB trying to ask its buddy IPIC to pay some debt to the Arlongs on its behalf, right? And in the process, issue them an IOU note. And 1MDB basically failed to make good on that IOU note, and therefore IPIC is cutting off ties with 1MDB.
I mean, for the ordinary Malaysian, for the tax-paying Malaysian, the question would be, who's left holding the baby? Is it the taxpayer? Is my money that, you know, is taken out of my wages every month going to subsidize this or to save this cause? For the person who doesn't pay taxes because they don't earn enough to pay taxes, they must be asking themselves, well, the money that goes from the Ministry of Finance to pay for, you know, any kind of default, is money that could have been spent on social services, education, healthcare, and whatever. It's money lost to the public, either way you see it.
I agree. And I think that the question of who is going to pick up the bill is only a byproduct of a more serious question, which is whether 1MDB should even exist at all, whether it has fulfilled its role as a developmental institution. I think that it has put the financial resources of Malaysia into grave risk. Nazir Razak himself said that something like this should not happen again. Bank Negara has also cast some aspersion on the dealings of 1MDB. So the real question for us is that we have placed a lot of focus and issued a lot of, you know, carbon footprint trying to deal with 1MDB, and that has distracted us from the real issues in the country.
And yet, no heads have rolled.
Yet? We don't know. We'll see. 7:57 right now. Puncak Niaga has entered into a heads of agreement with Tri PLC to commence talks for the potential acquisition of its businesses. So Tri PLC, involved in property construction, development and investment, also the provision of project management services for facilities.
So Puncak Niaga was one of the parties involved in treating and supplying water to the state of Selangor, and has since then sold those water assets to the federal government in a bout of restructuring for the country. And the country is really far from solving its water woes. There's a lot of water that is lost through distribution. And I think the government is still trying to struggle how to solve these things in a country where, you know, this is a country with one of highest rainfalls in the world. And now Puncak Niaga having benefited, being rewarded with a lot of money for having owned those water assets, now going into property construction. So hopefully those properties being built would be supplied with sufficient water.
Yeah, but, you know, as it is now, we're seeing the heat wave. There's already concern, Sharad, this morning in the papers, both NST and Malay Mail highlighting the issue that, you know, this heat wave, we could in fact see water rationing return.
Yeah, at least for the four northern states, yeah, and that's the most pressing concern. Because, you know, water is not just going to residences, it's also going to industry. And to what extent...
And agriculture, don't forget, right, farmers as well.
Yeah, and to what extent that's going to be affected by, you know, the taps turning dry.
7:59 right now. After the 8 o'clock news, we have Senator Datuk Dr. Ashraf Wajdi Dusuki, Deputy Minister in the Prime Minister's Department. He is, of course, in charge of religious affairs. We'll be talking to him on The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.